Well, did you ever notice how mothers seem to have some special senses about certain things in life? You know, and we're not talking about it in an eerie sort of way or anything. More of in an edifying sort of way, like the building up of others sort of way, both in their own families and with others. Now, certain comedians from way back have pointed out some other unusual things about mothers. Phyllis Diller once said, "I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford, and then I want to move in with them." Hey, okay. Buddy Hackett pointed out, "My mother's menu consisted of two choices, take it or leave it." Tough family. Milton Berle actually had some pretty good insight on this one when he said, "You know, if evolution really works, how come mothers still only have two hands?" Right? Yeah, they need a lot. And then Irma Bombeck said, "When my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, I climb out." Yeah, that's a plan right there. But, you know, one of those special senses, though, that mothers have that we're talking about is that they have a special sense about true wealth, right? True wealth. You know, Jesus was once talking to a crowd about covetousness, and then he put his finger on what is true wealth. He put it like this. Let's go ahead and read this through together from Luke 12:15. "Then he said to them, 'Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions.'" All right. So, since life is not really about possessions, what is life about? If it's not about material wealth, what is life really about? Well, it's about relationships. First, our relationship with our Creator and Redeemer, and next about our relationships with others, our family, church family, community, country, and such. It's about building relationships and relationship building. And mothers have a special sense about that, don't they? You know, they have a knack for seeing wealth not in what they have in their life, but in who they have in their life. And so if they happen to have a lot materially in their life or not have a lot materially, since they have that special sense that Jesus spoke about, that not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions, they look at their relationships, their family, their church family, and their connections with others as their true wealth. And, you know, and somehow, then they seem to communicate that sense to others, even if they're, well, not maybe spelling it out in their words. When I was a kid, our family was rather on the poor side of the economic scale. But, you know, in our home, there was never any talk about being poor economically, because the focus was not on what we had or didn't have, but on who we were and all of the riches that came with that, with who we were in our relationship with God, our relationship with one another. Mom especially had a way of turning the focus off of what we didn't have and on to focusing on other amazing things. And actually, it wasn't until I was almost an adult that I caught on to one of her strategies. You know, most people celebrate President's Day, right? Once a year. But oftentimes, we would celebrate President's Day once a week, especially President Lincoln. Because Mom would say that since President Lincoln grew up poor, well, we needed to have a very basic meal in order to honor President Lincoln. Yeah, so I remember a lot of once-a-week suppers that were basically crackers and cream peas. Because his mom would point out, that's probably all that young Mr. Lincoln had when he was a boy. I didn't connect the fact that mom was just having to cut back on the food budget each week, since that was all they could afford. I just thought that we were honoring President's Day. And, you know, I felt pretty patriotic about that. Yay! We do it once a week. Hey! Thank you, Lord. Way to go. Way to go, Presidents. But the mom was pretty clever, and she was pretty good at that. But the point is, we didn't think about so much about being poor because mom and dad focused our attention on another kind of wealth, our relationships, our relationship with God and with each other, and how rich we were in having all of that. True wealth. Well, you know, that goes along with another special sense that mothers have, and that is this special sense about true value. True value. I have a $20 bill here, and I'm not going to mess it all up because there's that thing about defacing money, you know, but let's say that I were to crumple up this $20 bill here, and then take it outside and mash it in the dirt. And then even let some cars drive over it and until it was, you know, pretty grungy, maybe even a bit muddy, messed up. Now, what would be the value of that $20 bill after being all mommicked? Right, $20. You see, the value of that $20 bill after being all messed up, it did not change because of the condition or of the appearance of the bill. No, the value of the bill remains exactly what it was before it got all messed up, because the value of the bill is determined by the value that was created into it. The value was given to it by creation, not by its later experience or the treatment or condition of it. You see, mothers have that special sense of seeing the true value of their children apart from their experiences, behaviors, treatment, accomplishments, performances, and so on of their children. Oh, sure. They are certainly proud about all the accomplishments and the achievements and the good works of their children. But still, they just sense that intrinsic value of their children, even if things don't go so well in their lives, or when things don't turn out or work out as they thought they would or hoped they would. Say, how often is it that when trouble or a bad turn of events happen in their families and others sort of give up on one or more of a family member, that mothers keep holding on and hoping on? It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? And it's because they have that special sense that even though that certain child is crumpled up or muddied up in their behavior or poor choices and such, still their value is the same as it always was and always will be, because that value came with their creation and nothing can change that. Like they would look at a dirtied up $20 bill, they look at a dirtied up family member or even someone else's family member and they think, you know, they just need some washing up in their life, some renewal in their life, because their value is still the same. You know, in this sense, mothers have caught that special sense that God has as he looks at others. Friends, as he looks at us. You know, as God saw us, muddied up in our sins, walking through life in the mire of the world, He saw the value in us that was created into us, and thus the need for us. It was a need to have it was the need to have some washing up of us. It was the need to just have some renewal of us, because the value in us was there. It was already there. And so that's exactly what God did. Remember the wonderful passage from Titus 3, where this is all laid out? Let me share it with you. Titus 3, 4 through 6. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, and by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. And then Peter goes on to explain what this washing was about. He says this: knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. Oh, how thankful so many of us are that God didn't give up on us when our lives were tattered and our behavior was tarnished and our attitudes were tempered by self-will and worldly ways. No, God saw His created value in us and knew that He could wash away the sin from us and renew us by His Spirit if He could only get to us, and if He could get to our heart and then get us to give our heart back to Him. You see it? Mothers are like that with their children. You see, they don't make their kids validate their worth because they know that the value, it's already in them. They don't make them earn their love and favor because they've already given it to them. Their kids don't have to perform up to a certain standard to gain their acceptance, because their acceptance of them was never based upon what they did. It's based upon who they are. And the value of who they are, it's an unconditional, an unchangeable value. Just like their love for them. Just like God's love for us. Oh my, what a God thing, right? Oh, that's how it works. Special sense that mothers have. Well, that leads us to one more special sense that mothers have about things in life, and that is the special sense that mothers have about true purpose. And even about the sense of their own purpose. Mothers know that in God's plan for motherhood, not only is it a blessing from God, it's also a calling of God. You see, God foreordained mothers with the high calling of forming the lives that God had formed within them. And mothers sense this connection. It's a connection that we see laid out in Psalm 139. Just a beautiful psalm. We've read it often. We love it so much. Let me share it. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance." And notice, "And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Now that last part speaks about the plans that God has for us. It speaks about these plans, these plans as being pre-recorded for us. In your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Pre-recorded. How amazing. And it is the early revelation of what the Apostle Paul later revealed in Ephesians 2:10. How about we read this one through together? Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Wow. Those good things He planned for us long ago. You see, back to those days that were ordained for us, that's not about time. That's about purpose. About the works God planned or assigned for each of us to do. And mothers have this special connection with these works of God, with these plans of God, really with these purposes of God. And so just as God wove the child within her, He continues to weave His plans through her. In her ongoing works in that child, in her prayers for that child, her example to that child, and on and on. You know, just like Esther was appointed for such a time as hers, mothers are appointed for such a time as theirs, appointed for such a work as theirs. And oh yes, the works of their lives, they will be many faceted, and those works too will be much rewarded. But among them are these specific preordained works, those pre-recorded works that would be accomplished as through the procreation, through adoption, through guardianship of some form, and then guided and guarded and directed as mothers co-labor together with God. And these works have that purpose, and this connects back into eternity past and right up into the mother's very present. So you see, it's a calling whose story began in eternity past, continues to the very present, and will go on into eternity future. Wow. So again, whatever else mothers do, mothers are doing what God called them to do, to carry out the works that were pre-recorded for them to do in the lives of their children and their children's children and on and on. My, these special senses, there are many. And with these special senses and others that mothers have, well, these things, well, we'll just say it's all a God thing and a really good thing for each of us. Amen to that? Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, and thank you, mothers, for these special senses that you have and that you share with us and that you use to enrich our lives. Let's thank the Lord together. Our God and King, as we have looked to You, to Your Word, to Your ways and with us, and particularly in the way in which You work through mothers and as they are co-laborers with You in their lives of their family and in others, and their influence extends into communities and their country. And so we thank You, Lord, for the way in which You've designed such a marvelous plan, marvelous way. And You weave these things together. As You began to weave children together, You weave the plans together. You weave these works through the lives, and especially the guidance of the mothers. We thank You for that. So we celebrate this, Lord, this day, and we do once again pray that mothers will sense Your pleasure upon them, Your presence upon them in a special way this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your caring ministry to us and so often through the hands and the hearts of mothers. We give You thanks. We give You praise. We rejoice together. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's been a joy to worship with you. And mothers, do have a wonderful day. It's been good to walk through this and rejoice with you. If we can be of any help to you in your own walk with the Lord, please let us know. And